Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 29. The talks between Narada and King Prachinabhari. Text number 5. Buddhim tu pramadam bijan. Amaham iti yatkritam. Yam adishtaya deheshmin. Apumam bhukte ksha bhigunan. Buddhintu pramadham vidyan. Mamaham iti yatkritam. Yam adishtaya deheshmin. Puman bhunkte kshabhir gunan. Buddhintu pramadham vidyan. Mamaham iti yatkritam. Yam adishtaya deheshmin. Puman bhunkte kshabhir gunan. Buddhim, intelligence. Two, then. Pramadham, the young woman, Paranjini. Vidyat, one should know. Mama, my. Aham, I. Iti, thus. Yat kritam, done by intelligence. Yam, which intelligence? Adishtaya, taking shelter of. Dehe, in the body. Asmin, this. Puman, the living entity. Bhunkte, suffers and enjoys. Akshabi, by the senses. Gunan, the modes of material nature. Translation. The great sage Narada continued, the word pramada mentioned in this regard refers to material intelligence or ignorance. It is to be understood as such. When one takes shelter of this kind of intelligence, he identifies himself with the material body, influenced by the material consciousness of I and mine. He begins to enjoy and suffer through his senses. Thus the living entity is entrapped. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In material existence, so-called intelligence is actually ignorance. When intelligence is cleared up, it is called Buddha Yoga. In other words, when intelligence is dovetailed with the desires of Krishna, it is called Buddha Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita 10.10, Krishna says, Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam didami Buddha Yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Real intelligence means linking with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When this is done, the Supreme Personality of Godhead from within gives one the real intelligence by which one can return home back to Godhead. Intelligence in the material world is described in this verse as pramada because in material existence, the living entity falsely claims things to be his. He thinks, I am the monarch of all I survey. This is ignorance. Actually, nothing belongs to him. Even the body and the senses do not belong to him, for they are given to him by the grace of the Lord to satisfy his different propensities through the material energy. Nothing actually belongs to the living entity, but he becomes mad after everything, claiming, this is mine, this is mine, this is mine. Janasya mohayam aham ameti. This is called illusion. Nothing belongs to the living entity, but he claims that everything belongs to him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that this false intelligence be purified. Chaito dapana marjanam. When the mirror of intelligence is polished, the real activities of the living entity begin. This means that when a person comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness, his real intelligence acts. At that time, he knows that everything belongs to Krishna and nothing belongs to him. As long as one thinks that everything belongs to him, he is in material consciousness, and when he knows perfectly that everything belongs to Krishna, he is in Krishna consciousness. Om Agyanti Miranjasya Janandina Saloka Chakshuram Vadatanjina Tasma Shri Gurave Namaha. So, so here Narada Muni is again describing the same philosophy over and over again about the nature of the living entity being in illusion of his relationship to the Supreme Reality or the Absolute Truth, and how the living entity can come back to reality knowing his actual position in relationship to the Absolute Truth. And that we call Krishna consciousness. We call Krishna the Absolute Truth because Krishna is proclaimed to be the Absolute Truth by Krishna himself and by all great authorities. So that process of coming to Krishna consciousness or coming to realize the Absolute Truth, Srila Prabhupada says, we can do that the easy way or we can do it the hard way. So he says, the easy way, you know, and that's the same thing in this world. You know, we can do everything the hard way or we can do everything the easy way. So we, of course, we have that problem in the world now. You know, there was some disease, virus that began in China. The easy way was to contain it at the very beginning, and the hard way is to cover it up and pretend it wasn't there. So we're doing it the hard way. So, similarly, we can come to Krishna consciousness the easy way, or we can do it the hard way. Now, Srila Prabhupada explains the easy way. The easy way is that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, surrender unto me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and I will protect you from all karmic reactions. One becomes completely purified of material existence, material intelligence, and comes back to their spiritual consciousness with that spiritual intelligence by which they can go back to Godhead. That's the easy way. The hard way is that we have so many other opinions which we're going to present to neglect Krishna's proposal. And we're going to have here, as it describes here, so we may say that there is no God, or that there are so many gods. You know, why go to the temple of Krishna? There are so many different gods, we can worship them. Or that God is dead. We are God. We are, as it says here, that, you know, why Krishna should be the enjoyer? I am the monarch of all I survey. So, so many different, you know, opinions. And so that is the difficult way, because by that proposition, we actually neglect the reality, and we follow a type of intelligence which is in complete illusion or foolishness. Srila Prabhupada describes that in the Bhagavad Gita, in his purport to the 10th chapter, 10th verse, that unless anyone who does not accept Krishna to be the cause of all causes, anyone who doesn't accept that, they are a fool, and only those who accept that have any intelligence. Otherwise, everyone else is in the category of foolishness. So this material intelligence, and even Lord Brahma describes, and we hear in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that even those who attain to the platform of liberation where they understand, I am not this material body, I am a spirit, I am spirit, and not the enjoyer of the material energy, even their intelligence, because they don't accept Krishna as the personality of Godhead, the absolute truth, their intelligence is still called impure, even on that platform. Therefore, it is, although they're very elevated, it is another form of foolishness. And so, this is the nature, actually, as Srila Prabhupada describes, that this is the nature of demons, and he describes that anyone who lives in the material world, apart from those who are Krishna conscious, by and large, we're all more or less demons. So Srila Prabhupada... By and large, we're in a lecture, 1967, New York, he says, by and large, we're all more or less demons because we defy God. That he is saying he's the enjoyer, and we have some other philosophy where we're just going to neglect God's opinion, cover his opinion, or literally just defy his opinion. So that, you know, that's actually a demoniac principle. And he gives the example that, you know, in the prison house, more or less, to one degree or another, everyone is a criminal. You know, that is, although everyone says they're innocent, if you ask any prisoner, oh, I shouldn't be here, but they're all more or less criminals. So, this tendency to think that, this material tendency to think that, you know, I am the enjoyer of this material energy with my senses and my mind. That is the root cause of why we are under the clutches of the material energy. As soon as we have that mentality, we are immediately captured by the material energy. The material energy, as described here, is... actually, the Lord awards us these material bodies to fulfill that illusory propensity. So as soon as we have that, immediately we're captured by the material energy, and we try to enjoy the material energy in different ways, different pots of poison, as described by the acharyas, karma kanda, by working nicely for good results, as a good person, jnana kanda, by trying to, you know, come to a philosophical platform of understanding. They're all basically all different pots of poison by which we try to enjoy some position other than being the eternal servant of the Lord. In fact, you know, Srila Prabhupada describes even the jnanis, you know, even if they come to the liberated platform, they're completely detached from matter and they're just on the spiritual platform that I am Brahman. He says, therefore they address each other as Narayan. Narayan is the husband of the goddess of fortune. That is known by everyone. And he says, therefore, deep, externally they're sannyasi, and within their hearts they want to enjoy Lakshmi. So they're addressing themselves as Narayan. Everyone knows that, you know, if there's Narayan there, Lakshmi is somewhere, and within their heart, that, you know, it is there, hidden away, deep. Even on that platform, that why should Krishna be the enjoyer the goddess of fortune? I am Narayan. So these different types of but in order to achieve success on any platform, whether as a, you know, if one wants to practice karma yoga, to live very piously, perform very expert, pious, good activities in the material world, performing one's duty, such a person may be elevated to go to the heavenly planets or to take very, very good birth, very opulent, well-educated, nice family. In order to achieve that, even as a kami, one has to have a tinge of bhakti. If there's not even a tinge of bhakti, some little element of worship of the Lord, then even the successes won't come. And even to be a jnani, one has to have a little smidgen of bhakti. Just a little. If there's nothing there, they can't attain that elevated platform. And it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the second chapter of the 10th canto, that the impersonalists, although they rise to the elevated, they actually rise to the position of liberation, but if they neglect the lotus feet of the Lord, thinking the Lord is illusory, they fall down. So it's described there that there are, you know, two types, as we say, there has to be a smidgen of bhakti, and there are two types of mixed bhakti, whether karma yogis, jnana yogis. You see, you know, once I saw a photo of a Kumbh Mela, and there were yogis there and jnanis, and I noticed that some of them were holding up pictures of Radha Madhava in Mayapur and like that, you know. So there were jnanis, there were yogis, some very old. But and then you have even, you know, on the platform of karma, kanda, they come to the temple, they want some material benediction, but they're, they're doing some worship. But still there's a little, worship of the Lord. They're accepting, this is part of how I'll be successful for my material goals or even my, liberation, is to somehow have some, worship. Now, those who accept that the Lord, that Krishna is a material person, perhaps someone, manifestation of the mode of goodness, but basically material, at a certain point when they feel that they are liberated, they then reject that worship of the Lord. And that rejection is actually, is in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada describes also that the jnanis who neglect or reject the lotus feet of the Lord, that's one of the greatest sinful activities you can perform. It's a very offensive. It's an act of defiance of God. Any act of defiance of, if you defy the government, there's penalties. So even the jnanis, if they, just totally reject that Krishna is, as he says he is, the absolute truth, that is an offence. That offence, that leads to other offences towards devotees, towards the Lord himself. And that they actually fall away completely from the path. They fall down. In fact, we're hearing the other day in Bhaktivedanta that so offensive it is that they can actually take birth, as mentioned in the Puranas, they can take birth as Brahma Rakshasas. Yeah. So they're great jnanis, and then they become Ekapada. Ekapada means one-legged, like ghosts. They become... I always wondered, you know, how does a brahmana end up a ghost, a rakshasa, Brahma Rakshasas? And that's it. It's that offence. So they're paka brahmanas. Very, very pious. So I could never understand how does a brahmana end up a ghost? Because they're so pious and so paka and so sattvic. And it's because of that offence like that. And we see also that neglecting the lotus feet of the Lord, we see that, Devas and Muni, because the devotees are always situated at the lotus feet of the Lord, to neglect the devotees is also part of neglecting the lotus feet of the Lord, because the devotees are always situated there at the lotus feet of the Lord, or to be offensive to the Dham where the Lord's lotus feet are, or to the temple, you know, where the Lord is situated. These are all different, so to reject that, don't go to the temple, that is, you know. So they fall down, but actually the other karmis and the jnanis and the yogis, if they actually have that tinge of bhakti and it is maintained by some association with devotional service, gradually that bhakti becomes more and more manifest, and gradually they come to a position where they can become devotees. Like that. And but this, understanding, therefore, Srila Prabhupada describes in his books that, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that it's not possible to understand Krishna by mental speculation. One has to, unless God presents himself within the heart and gives the intelligence within the heart and appears before the devotee. When the Lord appears means that if we understand Krishna, the Lord has appeared before us. That's another appearance of the Lord within the heart. The Lord has appeared. That understanding. Prabhupada quite often equates understanding Krishna and seeing Krishna as the same thing. So the Lord appears. That understanding of Krishna, by his mercy he will appear if one is submissive and humble. And then Ajita, the unconquerable, becomes conquered. Otherwise, he cannot be conquered or understood by our speculation. And in the Bhagavad Gita we see in the 10th chapter, Krishna describes, so what to speak of the ordinary persons trying to understand Krishna. You see in the 10th chapter, Krishna says to Arjuna, Sri Bhagavanuvacha Buya Eva Mahabaho Srinome Paramambacha Yatte Ham Premanaya Vakshami Hita Kamyaya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, this is verse 1 of the 10th chapter, listen again, O mighty armed Arjuna, because you are my dear friend. So there's that element of devotion, love. For your benefit I shall speak to you further, giving knowledge that is better than what I've already explained. In verse 2, neither the host of demigods, so that's all the way up to Brahma, nor the great sages know my origin or opulences, for in every respect I am the source of the demigods and sages. So what to speak of all the great sages and the demigods, they cannot understand Krishna because Krishna is the very source of them. He is inconceivably the origin of all of those personalities. And But he says in the third verse, he who knows me as unborn, as the beginningless, as the supreme Lord of all the worlds, he only, undiluted among men, is freed from all sins. In other words, those who are sinless, or those who have no defiance or neglect of the personality of Godhead, all their actions and thoughts are submissive to the Lord, they can know him, and they can know that even though he took birth as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, he's unborn. He has no beginning. And that he is actually the Lord of all the worlds, or the proprietor, the creator, and the enjoyer. They can understand that. So, now here, Krishna is, he says to Arjuna, listen again. And, you know, Prabhupada commenting on this verse, he describes that we actually, as Krishna has done, and as we see, you know, in this chapter, section of Srimad Bhagavatam, literally we go over this very elaborate analogy to describe the position, how the spirit soul is, you know, struggling. The spirit soul is a tiny little part and parcel of the Lord, an eternal part and parcel, but he's taking one birth after the other according to their karmic reactions, because they're trying with their material intelligence to enjoy the senses in contact with the material objects, and it's a, you know, that process should be given up. One should turn their face to the Lord, who's the actual enjoyer, and go back home. So there's this huge elaborate analogy, and then he gives another analogy in a different way, and then he explains it again so many times, over and over and over again. So Krishna's doing this to Arjuna. Listen again, Arjuna. I'm going to tell you the same thing in a different way. And Prabhupada, you know, commenting on this, he says, actually, you can understand, or you can speak the entire philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita in three words. Well, he says two. He quite often says two when he means three. Surrender to Krishna. That's it. Right, the 700 verses, summarized, three verses, surrender to Krishna, that's the whole philosophy. But again and again, Krishna will explain it through different processes, and now and then, you know, he comes to the point of Buddha Yoga, and explaining it, that process of Buddha Yoga, whereby that if one hears submissively from the authorities, the representatives of Krishna, then Krishna, he becomes very happy to reveal himself to that submissive devotee. And he also says that in this verse, Prabhupada comments that, you know, Krishna says to Arjuna, Mahabaho, O mighty armed. And mighty armed, he's saying to Arjuna, you have to come to this position to be, you know, very strong, very powerful, to fight against this illusory material intelligence and the material senses that keep you in this cycle of birth and death and in this conditioned life. You have to become very, very powerful, mahabaho, very mighty armed. He said, you have to be a great hero. In other words, we have to hear it again and again and again from the proper authorities until there is not a speck of doubt. We're completely convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And as Krishna says in that fourth verse, that one who knows me, well, he goes on to say, actually, and we said, so he's described how he is the source of all living entities, even the demigods, and he says, "Itam vibhutim, vibhutim yogam cha, mama yoveti tatvadaha, sa vakalpana yogina yujite natra samsaya." One who is factually convinced of this opulence and mystic power of mine engages in unalloyed devotional service, of this there is no doubt. So, therefore, he is addressing Arjuna. You become that sort of a great hero. Because, you know, we have a different concept of hero in this world. You know, heroes have lots of guns, they shoot lots of bullets, you know, they're always half-shaven. Yeah. Men and women, you know, they're different concepts of heroes. You know, they like to drive cars really fast and smash them up from time to time and get themselves in a few bar fights. And, you know, and they save the whole world with, you know, their great bravery. Actually, Arjuna was a hero, but not necessarily because he was a warrior, but because he fought with Maya, you know, for Krishna, for us, and for himself, for Krishna. And that heroism is that he gave up that, you know, he gave up that sense, yes, Krishna, I'm looking at this whole situation according to my, how it's going to affect me, because I'm the enjoyer of this, what's going on in this battle of Kurukshetra. He gave up that. And the heroism, that he just become a humble servant of Krishna. That's the hero, the humble servant, you know. That is the real hero, just like Prabhupada. Very, you know, very heroic. But that heroic position was that he just never budged from that position of being the humble servant of his spiritual master, servant. That's the actual hero. And that is how one heroically battles and defeats the material energy by hearing submissively from Krishna. So so one who becomes, so this, you know, in this, you know, one may say, look, we've heard this analogy, we heard it in a different way, now we're hearing, the, you know, some more about it, there's chapter after chapter. But we have to hear it until we get to that point, that, yes, Krishna is God, I have no doubt, I am his servant, his enjoyer. And when we enjoy in cooperation with Krishna, we enjoy it. That's our platform of enjoyment. And that we become because Krishna, he declares at the end of this Bhagavad Gita, he says, you know, where there is you know, well, Sanjaya declares that where there is Krishna and his representative Arjuna, or someone who's following in the footsteps of Arjuna, all the opulences of the Lord will be there for his devotee. Victory, morality, opulence, extraordinary opulence. So many things like that. So actually Krishna, he shares his six opulences. He has unlimited opulences, six opulences in full, and he shares that with his devotees as they enjoy cooperatively. Like that. Just like the king, you know, if you go to the palace of the king, you see that the servants, they may have very, very humble position. Actually, you know, very, very, I was watching a documentary and about, you know, might have been King Henry VIII or something, but one of the most confidential servants of the king is the one that helps him to go to the toilet. Yeah, that's a fact. And they actually, you know, because they're sort of, what we say, you know, the king can just be himself, so they tend to speak very freely. So, you know, that person knows more than anyone. So that almost, you would think, is very, but they're just such a submissive servant that they actually have the closest, most confidential relationship with the king than anyone. And the king, practically even his own wife. So anyway, but for the servant, and you see, you know, the servant of Krishna, just like Prabhupada, servant of Krishna, we're the servant of Krishna, and our life is lives are filled with, you know, prasadam and, you know, nice dancing and feasting and so many different things. So that is so we enjoy in cooperation with the Supreme Lord. So this then, you know, Krishna explains in a very straightforward in verse number 8. He says, "Aham savasya prabhavo mataha savam pravartate iti matva bhajanti mam buddha bhava samanvita." I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. Now, later we see that if we want to understand the Bhagavad Gita, the whole 700 verses, or the three words, surrender to Krishna, we have to accept the Bhagavad Gita exactly as Arjun accepted it. Arjun said that not only are you declaring that, and of course we saw that Krishna manifested his six opulences, so as far as his birth is concerned, it'd be very hard to find another person who, when they took birth with four arms, fully decorated with jewelry and nice clothing. I mean, most babies come out in a fair sort of a state, you know, all messy. They have to be cleaned up and given a little smack and, you know, get them breathing. You know, Krishna, very peaceful, and helmets, and, you know. He actually appeared in a Vishnumurti, or an Orion form. So that is, and then, you know, when Mother Devaki asked that, you know, Kamsa, you know, because Kamsa, Narada had explained to Kamsa that in your previous life you were a demon, Kalanemi, and Vishnu killed you. And now he's there in Devaki's womb. So Devaki's thinking, well, hide this Vishnu form because he, you know, he wants to kill. So she was fearful for Krishna, out of mother, you know, it's natural. So she wanted him to, she didn't want any trouble at all. So then Krishna, he then transformed into little baby Krishna. So he just changed his form. So that's not an ordinary person who appears, that's, you know, it's not actually a birth. You know, I don't know any woman's womb that can create a whole set of clothing and jewelry and, you know. So it's not like he was manufactured by the womb, you know. I mean, cows give milk, they eat grass and give milk. Okay, that's something, that's quite miraculous. But a full set of clothing, matching, you know, colour coordinated, not going to, you know, not going to happen, you know. So Krishna's birth is there, but all the Vedas, they also say this about Krishna being the cause of all causes. Because Arjun says all the sages, Vyas, who's the compiler of the Vedas, he says the same thing. So in this purport, you see that Prabhupada says, this Bhagavad Gita 10.8, all Vedic literatures agrees that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva and all other demigods. All the Vedas. Some may say, oh, it's said here. Now all the Vedas say that Krishna is the source of Brahma, Shiva and all other demigods. In the Atharva Veda and the portion, the Upanishad portion, which is the Gopalatapani Upanishad 1-24, it is said, Yo Brahmanam Vidadati Purvam Yo Vai Vedams Cha Kapayati Sma Krishna. Quote, it was Krishna who in the beginning instructed Brahma in Vedic knowledge and who disseminated Vedic knowledge in the past. Then again in the Narayana Upanishad, 1 says, Atha purusho hi vai Narayano kamyatha praja sujeti. Quote, then the Supreme Personality of Narayan desired to create living entities. And the Upanishad continues, Narayanad Brahma Jayate Narayanad Prajapati. Jayate Narayanad Indro Jayate Narayanad Asto Vasavo Jayanti Narayanad Ikarasa Rudra Jayanti Narayanad Tarasa Dicha. Quote, from Narayan, Brahma is born. And from Narayan, the patriarchs are also born. From Narayan, Indra is born. From Narayan, the eight Vasus are born. From Narayan, the 11 Rudras are born, including Shiva. And from Narayan, the 12 Adityas are born. This Narayan is an expansion of Krishna. It is said in the same Vedas, Brahmano Devaki Putra. The son of Devaki, Krishna, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's the Narayana Upanishad 4. Then it is said, Eko vai Narayana ashin na brahma neshano napo nagni samo name jav apativi na nakshatrani na surya. In the beginning of the creation, there was only the Supreme Personality Narayan. There was no Brahma, no Shiva, no water, no fire, no moon, no heaven and earth, no stars in the sky, no sun. And in the Maha Upanishad 1-2, it is said that Lord Shiva was born from the forehead of the Supreme Lord. Thus the Vedas say that it is the Supreme Lord, the creator of Brahma and Shiva, who is to be worshipped. In the Moksha Dharma section of the Mahabharata, Krishna also says, the patriarchs, Shiva and others, are created by me, though they do not know that they are created by me because they are deluded by my illusory energy. In the Varaha Purana, it is also said, Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and from him Brahma was born, from whom Shiva was born. So there are so many different quotations there from the Vedas. Very clearly, so one would really have to go out of their way to neglect those very straightforward quotations of Krishna, the son of Devaki, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of all the demigods, including Brahma and Shiva and the whole material existence. So Krishna is saying that, Vyasa is saying that, everyone is saying that, and Krishna demonstrated that. There is no one else who has ever demonstrated even, a millionth, or a trillionth of the opulences and, greatness that Krishna manifested and his transcendental pastimes. So therefore these books by Srila Prabhupada, they are filled with this information that can only be understood by devotees and can only be understood by those who hear from such devotees. And by distributing these books all over the world, persons who may, for one reason or another, due to distress, due to material desires, due to desire for liberation, have some little inclination to approach the Lord or think about the Lord, whatever little tinge of bhakti that is there, these books fan that little spark into very, very powerful, strong, attraction to the personality of Godhead, to the point, as described in verse number 9, where such persons, their lives are just fully dedicated to hearing from the devotees, and Prabhupada explains in that purport there, just like a young boy and a young girl are naturally attracted. If one hears about Krishna from the devotees, that little bit of bhakti comes to that point. And this is the value of these books, that they should be distributed all over the world. And especially now, because, one time, people are in the mood to hear. One time I was my spiritual master gave a class, and I said to him, "Oh, that's such a wonderful class, Srila Gurudev," like that. And he said to me, "It's amazing, Gangashra, how much things sink in when you're in the mood to hear it." And and I realised, yes, you know, that you know, the philosophy is always wonderful, especially when it's presented by, you know, nice devotees. But you know, when people are in the mood to hear it, it just sinks in, just goes right, you know. So that is the situation now, you know, that we have that opportunity. More than ever, we should distribute the knowledge of these books. Of course, we can do that online, you know. We can do it in many different ways. But somehow or another, that should never stop. In fact, it should be especially, that message should especially go out now. Especially. Somehow or another. More so than ever. Because people are in the mood to hear it. And because of that submissive, you know, generally they're puffed up. "I'm the big enjoyer of this world. Well, I've got to hear from you, you know, unsuccessful, you know, devotees. You can't get your material life together, so you've, you know, gone and hidden away in defeat in the temples. You know, I'm a big successful now. You know, where their egos are being smashed, their pride is being smashed, they're being humbled, and you know, there's." Forcibly, people are being placed in that position. Then, okay, maybe I will hear, you know, because now I've got nothing. I don't have anything to be proud of. And in fact, many people are realizing that the things that they were proud of actually were things they were doing very foolishly. Anyone in this world who had a foolish foundation of existence in relationships, in finances, in health, they're, you know, the most vulnerable victims of the pandemic. Those whose health is stronger because they've not abused their body in sense gratification, they have better opportunities. Those whose finances, because they're not spending, because of greed, they're not spending money that they didn't have, they've borrowed, you know, so much to, you know, "I don't want to wait 2 years, I want it all now, and I'm going to mortgage myself to eternity, and I want it all, and I want it now." You know, they'll look at it now and they think the things I've been proud of actually are the most foolish, stupid things you could do. You know, living this foolish life, and all of a sudden I'm caught out without any shelter in a world where at every step there's danger. But those who've been a little bit realistic and, you know, lived somewhat thoughtfully, you know, they're somewhat protected. So this is the time to spread this Krishna consciousness. And Krishna describes, now, if one just hears submissively, and, you know, especially the devotees are, you know, they hear and they follow. And we see that Krishna is saying, "You cannot understand me by speculation. The demigods cannot understand me. The sages cannot understand me. But you're going to try." And he says, Krishna says, "Even I can't understand myself. I'm so inconceivable. I came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because my pastimes are so confidential even to me that Lord Chaitanya, he appeared as Radha Krishna combined, or the Lord and his internal spiritual pleasure potency, Srimata Radharani, together, so that the Lord could taste transcendental activities, loving activities, between the Lord and his own personified spiritual energy. He could taste that when one loves God, what is that love like? What do they experience when they love God? What do they experience when they feel the love of God in return. So he's actually experiencing that his pastimes are so confidential. So Lord Chaitanya didn't just come to teach us how to be purified of our material intelligence. He said, I'll give you this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Krishna is the absolute truth. Therefore, if you just chant his name, you'll be purified. If you hear his pastimes in the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, you'll be purified. And if you're purified, I'm going to allow you to participate in my activities and we'll all taste the ecstatic, most blissful, confidential pastimes experienced by the Lord himself and his confidential devotees in the spiritual world. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So all of that, and to Lord Chaitanya, his process in giving that, chant Hare Krishna, always think of Krishna. So when Krishna says, surrender unto me, his instruction is always think of me. And you know, in a humble way, a devoted way, be my devotee. Think of me as a devotee. Respectful, offer your obeisances and worship like that. But always think of me in that way, as a devotee does. You surrender to that. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, how do you think of Krishna? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Because it can be done. If you can't go to the temple, if you can't go to God, God will come to your house and dance on your tongue. In two ways. By you can chant the Krishna Gita and you can eat Krishna Prasadam. So, Prabhupada would say, whenever he'd say that, he'd say, is that very difficult? You can look around. Still, you know, whenever he says that, I think I'm so fallen, because for me it is such an easy process. But so Lord Chaitanya, and one who is submissive to that and just hears in the association of devotees, little Hare Krishna, little Kirtan, and as I said, if one can't go to the temple, Krishna will come to your home. And you can do that with your family. You don't have to do it with sannyasis and, you know, yogis. You can do it with your wife and children, your husband, your mother, like that. Very, very easy. And now, this is the mercy of Krishna. As Prabhupada says, the demigods cannot understand Krishna by the speculative process unless Krishna reveals himself to them. Nor the great sages, no one can understand Krishna, but if we have a little submissiveness and chant, we can understand what those great personalities can't. You know, that concept is, you know, that the greatest personalities throughout the whole universe, we can understand what they can't with just by a little bit of submissiveness. So then Krishna says in the, you know, just to give a final sentence here, at the end of verse 11, and you know, so this is this verse, Tesham sadhati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Like that. And as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, don't try to act in such a way that you'll see God, act in such a way that God will see you. And at the end of verse 11, where Krishna is explaining how he helps the devotee within the heart, in the purport there, Prabhupada says, by studying the Bhagavad Gita, one can become a soul completely surrendered to the Supreme Lord and engage himself in pure devotional service. As the Lord takes charge, one becomes completely free from all kinds of materialistic endeavors. So here in this verse today of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is describing how we should become free from the material intelligence and material endeavors. And actually the way to do that is to study the Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, hear from devotees, hearing and chanting, taking prasad, and the Lord actually within the heart literally takes charge of that person and helps them to understand Krishna and understand the process by which they can go back to Godhead. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments. And I believe we have a microphone, is that right? A special microphone for our illustrious questioners.
Hello.
Well, Prabhupada explains that actually if everyone does that, instead of the world being anxiety and hell at every step, he says it will become Vaikuntha all over the world. If everyone just in their usual position, without changing their position, they chant the holy names of the Lord, hear about Krishna from the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and take Prasadam, if everyone in the world does that, this world will be Vaikuntha, no anxiety. And the reason that the world is in such a mess now with this pandemic is because people believe that they can act in any way they please, eat anything they please, and if they create a problem, they can just cover it up, mess about with it, and just go on with their enjoyment. Otherwise, if they follow Krishna's process, actually this world can be Vaikuntha and we wouldn't have any of this mess at all.
Question is, there's four kinds of people that come to Krishna.
Yes.
So apart from the wise, there's the inquisitive, distressed and the poor. And we know distress and poverty, they come and go in the person's life. So when the distressed person comes and then when that goes away, the thing, what I'm saying is, when their problems are solved, there's a danger that they will not come anymore. Mm-hmm. So then how do...
That's right. So while they're, when the distress, that's why, you know, in a temple, when people do come, you know, they want to do make some connection with the Supreme, offer a prayer or something, offer some charity. But they may be doing because they're distressed, as you're saying, or desire wealth. We must take the opportunity, the devotees take the opportunity, let them hear even just a little bit. Now, that's not to say that anyone walks into the temple, we have to corner them in the courtyard, right? and badger them for about 45 minutes and so that they think, oh, I'm never coming back there. I went in to give a couple of dollars to the temple, I got, you know, cornered in the courtyard there, 45 minutes, you know, just talking, and you know, not like that. If someone has the capacity to hear from a devotee for 2 minutes, speak for 2 minutes. And that 2 minutes that they receptively hear from you is their eternal benefit, and it adds to their bit. Every 2 minutes gradually adds up to them becoming a person who, even when the distress has gone away, there's impressions that never go away.
So it's, although they come in one of the four problems, it's our duty to preach, to
yeah,
help them and be able
somehow
to
or another. So even, you know, say, for instance, you know, little babies. You can't preach to little babies. And if they're really young, you can't give them prasadam. But I always get the parents to get the baby to offer their pranams. Mm-hmm. And Krishna accepts that, even they're doing unknowingly, unwillingly. Krishna accepts that. So, whatever little we can engage someone in devotional service, even though they don't know it, we take that opportunity. And it actually, even giving prasad, we're giving prasadam. The result of giving prasadam is that in this life or the next life, they'll become a devotee. That's the result. the result of every little extra bit of bhakti that a person performs, knowingly or unknowingly, is that the result is, the end result is they'll become a devotee. And becoming a devotee means that they'll want to mix with other devotees and they'll actually hear, you know, a lot and gradually become convinced about Krishna. And becoming convinced about Krishna, they'll surrender and take up bhakti yoga properly. And when they take up bhakti yoga properly, then Krishna fully reveals himself. Like that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Shri Prabhupada ki jai.